Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hi, I'm Matt Lieb.
And I am Vince Mancini.
And this is a Mad Yourself a man announcement, baby. That's right. We are finally coming back after a not that long of a break, but certainly long-ish break between seasons. Mad Yourself a Man Season 3 will be coming out on Patreon first next week. On Friday, and then the Friday after that, it will be released to the free feed. So, Mad Yourself a Man will always release a week early on the Patreon. So, if you're not on Patreon, you will have to wait extra long.
Yeah.
But if you are a Patreon piggy, get ready, because Mad Yourself a Man's coming back.
Gird thy loins.
Yes. Now, without further ado, here is your unlocked episode of The Fraudcast.
What's going on? You're listening to The Fraudcast, coming at you not live from our podcast. We're having a great time. We're hoping you're having a great time. It's Wednesday, August 20th. I'm Vince Mancini. I am joined, as always, you know him, you love him. He is the irregular regular, Mr. Matt Lieb.
Matt Lieb don't like it. Suck my dad's cock. Suck my dad's cock. Matt Lieb don't like it. All right, fine.
What this podcast presupposes is, what if he did like it?
Oh, yeah. What if instead of Matt Lieb not liking sucking my dad's cock?
Matt Lieb, he likes it.
Banning it down. Suck my dad's cock. What's up, everyone? Sorry.
That's that song was written by Joe Lummer of The Gash.
Oh, very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Joining us also, third mic, human giant, future NFL Hall of Famer, Brendan.
Suck my dad's dick. Suck my dad's dick.
Wait, what is it?
Straight to Hell.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
I'm not as familiar with that one.
Yeah, I don't know either. But
it's a classic. It's, well, you know it because Paper Planes sampled it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, she gets high like planes, something.
High like paper.
Joining
well,
us
like paper
also,
get high like planes.
This week's guest, author of You Talking to Me, The Definitive Guide to Iconic Movie Quotes.
Coats, idiots.
Coats.
Sorry.
There's Joseph's coat. There's that. There's the trench coat that Sherlock Holmes wears. And Die Hard in Oral History. And also the host of It Gets Better, Brian Abrams.
Hello, thank you. I'm sorry I don't have a dad sucking dick song, but I'm working on the lyrics right now.
What were you doing? How did you prepare for this, if not that?
Come on, man.
I mean,
everyone's sucking their dad's dick here.
If it's worth it at all. When we were kids, well, basically like a week ago. My brother and I used to go back and forth about like when we learned like what dick sucking was and butt fucking and like stuff like that. And like, yeah, we didn't think of it like I don't know. We just, it's just funny sex stuff. And like,
right. Yeah.
We used to say stuff like, hey, so like, for $1 million, like, would you like suck dad's dick? Or like, for $1 million, would you like get fucked up the ass? Cause like, that's like scary, right? Or weird. And the truth is like, now that we're older, we're like, I would get fucked up the ass 10 times for $1 million.
I would
like,
do it for 20 grand.
Yeah, for sure.
Just imagine a free 20 grand and all that has to happen is someone fucks you in the ass. Oh my God, dude. Oh my God.
20 grand and I get to come?
Yeah. Wait, what?
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm assuming. I guess that would be the hard part is living with yourself after that.
It depends on who's fucking you in the ass. I swear to
God.
Yeah,
what if he's hot?
Yeah, like, honestly, even just a little bit hot, I'd be like, worth it. Because then, you know, it's like you're doing the, like, Rolodex in your mind, you know, on your deathbed of people that you've had sex with, and you know, you're regretting not doing it more, but you're also happy that you at least did it some. And
but
then
I don't think
through the Rolodex, eventually you come on this hot guy, and you're like, "What was that about? Oh yeah, that's the guy I let fuck me in the ass for $20,000."
I don't think hotness even matters. Like, it could be Randall Tex Cobb back there. The point is that like, it's...
I need money.
And it's less humiliating than like working at a real job.
Oh, absolutely.
My God. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. If I had a real job and I would be spending all day on Craigslist being like, will someone fuck me in the ass for $20,000?
Is that a casual encounter or is that like a marketplace?
It's a marketplace, I think. I mean, if you're doing it for, if you're asking for money, it's not casual, you know? It's business.
This is the marketplace of ideas. And the one idea I have is letting someone fuck me in the ass for 20 grand.
I would do it in a heartbeat just because it's like, you know, yeah, then it's like, now I got 20 grand.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the upside.
Imagine the meeting with HR when they like go through your computer and see that you spent all day just going on Craigslist. Are you unhappy?
You show me the part in the company handbook where it says I can't do this.
Exactly. First of all, I only posted it on my break.
In fact, this is a great opportunity to be for me to ask for that raise.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you don't want me posting about trying to get fucked in the ass for $20,000, how about a 15% bump? If not, I'm going to keep asking. And also, do you think on your off time, if you have any friends or family who want to fuck me in the ass for $20,000, could you give them a heads up? Here's my card.
He'll do like you could do the punch card, like get the sixth free.
Yeah.
Remind me to put a link to the show in my LinkedIn, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Of course. We'll make sure that SEO is popping off. Oh, man. Anyways.
Well, we know that at least one French guy was living our dream this week.
Yeah. What is this story? Vince, every broadcast, we have a doc. And Vince puts like potential stories on there. And this is one that I read two or three tweets down from the thread.
Yeah, it just keeps getting worse.
And I was just like, oh no, I'm getting depressed.
Well, he died doing what he loved.
I did.
Getting humiliated by his friends on a streaming
on Kick
site. Kick, yeah. Streamer Jean Pormanov, real name Raphael Graven, died last night live on Kick. For years, his so-called friends humiliated him on camera with beatings, bullying and insults, all for donations.
In French, though, right?
Yeah. It sounds better in French.
Yeah, I bet it sounded like cool in French.
Mm-hmm. On Monday night, after 10 days of nonstop streaming, 46-year-old Jean fell asleep on camera and never woke up. Viewers watched as his body was shaken by his companions, who only realized minutes later that he was gone. A live
video. Hold on a second. So when you explained the scenario, I'm like, oh, this is some like weird 15-year-old.
No, he's 46.
The fact that it's a 46-year-old man is really throwing me here.
Yeah, it's something else. This wasn't this an exact like scenario on Black Mirror? Isn't there? There was a Black Mirror episode about this. Yeah.
And then, I forget all of the episodes of Black Mirror, except for the one where Paul Giamatti gets to go relive his life.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. No, yeah. This
really?
Was,
oh, I only remember the one where they fuck each other in Street Fighter.
Oh yeah, no, that was good too. The first one where they fuck the pig, I thought that was excellent. But no, there's one in the new season where
was your mom in that one?
Hey, listen, you fucking bitch.
Which, did she get $20,000?
She got $20,000. What is she gonna say? No, it's funny. This actually is very similar to the conversation we were just having. So I kind of feel for this Frenchman, but
yeah,
no, it's that Irish guy who's in all the. He's like an Irish comedic actor. His face. He looks like a thumb. But he's got hair. You know him. He's in stuff.
Well, you have to give me more than that.
Yeah.
To know
he's
what you're
Irish.
About.
He's a comedic actor. He does, like, you know, he's in his, like, probably 40s.
Chris O'Dowd?
50s. Yeah,
Chris
that's
O'Dowd?
Him. Yeah, yeah. That's
really?
Him. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I got on the first try. All right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
somebody
I think.
Give me $20,000 for this.
Well, it's not like you got fucked in the ass, Vince. Yeah. Anyways, basically. He does look like a thumb. I just Googled it. I'm right about the thumb thing.
No, you were. Yeah. No.
He is, in order to make enough money to help his wife stay alive, he basically does like this streaming service where he wears a mask and then he like does humiliating things for money. Mm. It's like OnlyFans for sadists type thing. Anyways, that's what this sounds like, except for
yeah.
It sounds like he died.
A live video now widely shared reportedly shows him inanimate under a duvet with two men nearby, one tossing a small plastic bottle of water at him. Mm. Those 10 days weren't just harmless gaming or chatting. They were 10 days and nights of humiliation, extreme physical violence, sleep deprivation, even being made to swallow toxic products, all live and fully monetized for donations.
It's a living.
It beats working.
Yeah. It's a dying. Yeah, that's... Wild.
The channel behind this is called Le Local, run by streamers known as Narutovi and Safin. Mediapart exposed them last year for live humiliation and violence for audience shares. They were detained, then released, and the channel kept going. there's a clip from a few weeks ago that's especially haunting. His friends, quote unquote, laugh about what would happen if he died live. One insists he should say on camera that if he ever dies, it'll be because of his health, not them. Under pressure, Jean said it.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What would they do to him? I mean,
Jean, a fragile man in his 40s who'd spent much of his life streaming alone from his parents' house, wanted community and to belong. Instead, he ended up surrounded by people who made him the punchline. After falling in with his new group, he moved in. Streaming became his whole life. On camera, his friends kept reminding him how they had rescued him, how he owed everything to them. Clips show them mocking his past, saying he never had friends, never had love. They called him disabled, beat him, even strangled him, and all of it was played for laughs, with viewers sending money to keep the abuse going.
I'm not gonna, you know, obviously compare what we do on this podcast to that, but in a way, I do feel like if we all still lived in the same city, that's what this would turn into.
Oh, would that be you though? Would you, are you Jean?
Oh yeah.
You...
Oh yeah.
You're the piss pig of the group.
Absolutely. I don't think there's a person listening who is confused about who exactly the dead guy would be.
What worse have you done than like eating the Denny's Lord of the Rings shit? I mean, I don't really know.
Well, I mean, it starts
which
out
which I also ate, to be fair.
Right. No, but I think it's more it starts out with, you know, first you have, oh, let's have Matt do a royalty freestyle and let's watch him squirm. And mm-hmm. then it's like, hey, what if we also, while he's doing that, punched him in the mouth? And then it was like, oh, you know, we should stream this live on Kick. And then one thing leads to another. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, well, $20,000 is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
Vince is fucking me in the ass.
You're like two steps away as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine how funny your yelps of pain would be. Like you just.
Yeah.
Have that,
no,
you know?
I get it. I understand why it would be entertaining. I just, you know, I feel like in another timeline, me and this guy, you know, could switch places.
Yeah, you could. Did you hear about
was that the
Andrew
end of that
Cuomo's...
story? That's a
yeah,
fucked
that
up story, dude.
He's dead.
I certainly yeah. hate that. yeah. I hope everyone involved
well,
goes
the rest
to jail
is like...
and yeah.
Streaming, yeah, streamers should go to jail probably.
Yeah,
that's my take. Yeah,
that's
just
fair.
In case, like, send them all to jail, and then yeah. we have to like prove.
Until we can figure out what the hell is going on.
Yes, exactly.
I agree.
Did you see the Andrew Cuomo has a meme guy now, or he had a meme guy for like a day? It was basically like the fastest milkshake ducking that I think I've ever seen.
No, I think I missed this. I knew that Andrew Cuomo had a comms team that was like preposterously bad. Like like whoever was running his Twitter, it was insane, because he would say stuff like, "This guy's a nepo baby," and it's like, "You're a Cuomo, shut up."
And that was like two tweets removed from saying who his grandfather was,
right?
So
you're saying he also had a meme guy?
So there was a post that went around from this guy Jason Levin, and it was a post with him with Andrew Cuomo, looking very wizened. I think he must be on like Ozempic or something. He's got that sort of hollow-eyed look to him. The meme guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Some meme kid. Jason Levin, "I'm making memes for the mayor. Yes, actually. I made a meme for Andrew Cuomo that hit 5 million plus views. Tonight I met with Cuomo and his team to talk about marketing strategy. Here's how I plan to save NYC with memes alone." So that was like maybe 2 days ago. And then like,
before you go on, can I just say how sad it is that people use views as a metric on Twitter?
I know.
Especially for a politician. Like if Andrew Cuomo could tweet himself getting fucked in the ass for $20,000 and it would hit 5 million. You know, I mean, he tweets dumb shit. Like he gets most of his views from people dunking on him.
Right.
I have to assume.
Show me retweets. Views just means that I'm scrolling Twitter and your asshole tweet happens to show up in my timeline and I scroll past it. That's all it means.
And that's at best. Like I still don't fully believe even that, because it's like, I feel like Elon made the views thing with the same technology that Facebook did.
Yeah.
Back when Facebook decided to, you know, destroy all journalism by pivoting to video and making everyone else do it, because they thought, well, everyone's getting a million billion views. And then it turned out it was all fucking fake numbers. Like, these are fake numbers.
Didn't you get like a video news job out of that, though? Didn't you get an Al Jazeera Plus gig?
I did. And listen, I'm grateful for my awards. But literally.
Webby Award nominee.
Nominee and honoree.
Oh, an honoree. Oh,
honoree.
My God.
That's when you don't even get nominated. But you got close.
You think that dead French guy is going to get a Webby?
I mean,
like a lifetime achievement award.
Certainly, death time achievement.
I mean, I think if you can submit for him and for the $200 fee, you can get the nomination, right?
Yeah. I think it's actually it's all rigged. But like, listen, the
I got fucked in the ass for $20,000. Ended up getting beat by a dead guy. You know, this thing's all political.
It's all political.
Corporate media.
But yeah, it's like you really got to be, you're hanging on by a thread if you're like looking at the view count as like something to feel good about.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think this is like, in the absence of any real economy,
currency,
like this is, I feel like this is what 20 somethings are sort of reduced to.
Yeah.
Like, without viable industries where it seems like there's a path to employment, they got to be like, check it out, I made this fucking awesome meme and it got 5,000 views
but also they're 20 something, so they can't be like, they don't feel empowered to tell them that it's cringe, fam.
Yeah. Exactly.
So anyway, like within, I don't know, less than a day, everybody dug up this guy's old tweets about how he's a Trump supporter.
Well, that's not surprising.
Yeah. Here's one. "Ladies, men will happily pretend to be Democrat to fuck you.
One thing ladies love, it's Democrat." I swear
they
to God.
"They definitely don't love me because I am not a Democrat and I get no pussy.
I would have fucked so many more women if I had been Democrat." I swear to God, these people have no idea how to talk to a lady. Like, do you think people go, "Hi, I'm Democrat."
"Let's have sex."
Yeah. "Sex with me?"
But he obviously just conflates like liberal and leftist too. Like that's just the left, right?
Yeah. Well, that's standard.
Yeah, Democrat is the left.
God Sod, I don't know who that is, but I'm sure he's some Andrew Tate.
Oh, dude, character. God Sod is the fucking worst motherfucker in the world. You mean Gad Sad? G-A-A-D? Yeah, Gad Sad.
Matt, is he related to Josh Gad? That's the only thing that can make him worse.
I can't tell you exactly why, but I just had this like incredible feeling of relief that I have no idea who that is. There's just something, just my spidey sense is going to like, I don't want to know who Gad Sad is.
That's like whenever someone on Blue Sky mentions Will Stancil, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to say his name five times in the mirror until the urge to Google him dissipates, and then I'll just move on with my life.
As far as I can tell, do any of you guys know who Will Stancil is? Because I kind of want to guess.
I know of him. I think I know just enough that you could guess, and I might be able to give you a yay or nay.
I feel like
I'm the same as Vince. He's like just a centristy abundance guy or something.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, that's all I know. The thing that stands out in my head, like if you needed me to explain to you who he is, like from what I've been able to put together, whereas so many people online are well known for just like being really awful or shitty or whatever in any direction, right? Yeah. Whether it's like a like alt-right edgelord, whether it's like a hardcore ride or die vote blue no matter who, like whomever, right? Whether it's like a Chapo reply guy who's being annoying as fuck. But he's like, people hate him for just kind of being really like boring and like not really saying anything.
Those
are the kinds of people that I'm least driven to find out about. Like, oh, centrist pundit that everybody dunks on. I guarantee I already know what that person's like and don't care.
Yeah, just take every obnoxious person that I just described from every edge of the spectrum and just do a perfect mathematical average of all those opinions.
Yes.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, the right wing crazy people are at least like more interesting.
I love them. I can't get enough of them.
Yeah.
People that are more obviously mentally ill are obviously like more compelling than like centrist politics.
It's why you want to watch a Frenchman die on Kick.
Yeah. I want a 24-hour channel of Jack Berkman and Jacob Wall.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Those guys rock. I love those guys.
Just like they're walking around in trench coats and fake mustaches to do like the most esoteric crimes.
Yeah, yeah. I love them. I can't get enough of them.
Yeah, no, they're great. Matt, what are you doing?
Nothing. What are you doing?
What are you fucking scrolling over there, bro?
I'm not scrolling. I read an
email. I want to watch Stephen Miller interact with things.
Yeah. Speaking of interesting people, I feel like the Jordan Peterson.
Wait, but we didn't finish. What else did this guy say?
It wasn't that interesting. God Sod calls this the sneaky fucker strategy based on the behavior of giant cuttlefish. The zoological term is kleptogamy, where a male pretends to be more beta to reproduce.
Oh my god!
I talked to one big Twitter friend who used this strategy successfully last week. Wow, you know one pounds. Guy who got laid online.
He's 800 pounds. He's this huge Twitter friend.
Yeah, he's huge, dude. He's big, but like cuttlefish soft.
He's a big guy.
Yeah,
I know one guy who got laid. You wouldn't know him. He goes to a different school.
God, sad. Whenever I think of him, sorry to bring it back to him, but do you guys ever read Hop on Pop?
Yeah, of course.
I vaguely remember that.
Well, it's one of my favorite parts in that is
it's a Dr. Seuss book.
Yeah, where it says dad sad, bad had, dad is sad, very, very sad. He had a bad day. What a day dad had. I love that because they drew a really sad dad. And
it reminds you of yourself.
And it reminds me of me, but also I think of Gad Sad. anyways, I'm now reading more of this guy's tweets. Jason Levin, is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name. Why are you reading more of his tweets? He's not that interesting.
Well, okay, because I found one that was interesting where he tweeted, "I am the first Jewish Nazi."
Yeah, I thought you'd like that one.
Yeah, I didn't know this was possible. It's time to embrace it. It's time to share something I've been afraid to say for a long time, something deeply personal to me. It makes every blah 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 blah. Yeah, it's him saying he's a Nazi and he's got a.
But he's being cute and like ironic about it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a small bean Nazi.
Yeah, exactly.
Has the campaign reacted to this yet?
Kill
or
all
they,
Jews.
They just kind
ooh,
of yeah. give him a promotion.
Yeah.
No, they publicly distanced themselves like within a day.
See, this is why.
Wow.
This is why establishment, anyone's, Dems, Republicans, are fucking losers. This is why they lose, because it's like, look, I hate this guy. I'm glad that he got fired. But it's also like, you know, if.
You couldn't even stand by your meme guy?
Yeah, if like he had also, any like, political doing... cunning, like he would just be like, no, we're going to do the Trump thing and never apologize. And in fact, they're going to make that guy chief of staff. Like, that's what Trump does. And everyone goes, wow, yeah, that'll show him. And it's, yeah, it's just so stupid.
That's a sign. That is a sign of weakness from Cuomo, right? Because he is Trumpy. His instincts are Trumpy. If he actually did have like a half swell dick in this fucking campaign, then he would stand by this kid and be like, I don't give a fuck. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Harry Potter and the half swell dick.
Yeah.
Part one.
Oh, good stuff. Oh, good stuff. Good stuff.
No, I mean, yeah. And like Cuomo's entire like strategy at this point is like trying to get Trump people to vote for him.
Right.
For
but he's
mayor
too much of a pussy.
Primary.
He's too much of a pussy. And this is, you know, it's like,
I mean, he's running the stupid fucking Democrat playbook, like the late stage Kamala playbook, where it's like, what if we get a Cheney to vouch for us?
Yeah.
Just the dumbest fucking thing you can imagine. Just like.
Yeah.
You can't convince me that they didn't throw that election. Like, because whose fucking idea was that?
Yeah.
That is.
So I saw the new Spike Lee movie last night.
Oh, he's got a new one?
Yeah. And Denzel Washington's kid in the movie, like Denzel Washington plays a rich guy and his kid is like a basketball player or whatever.
Is it played by his actual kid?
It's not. It's not.
Okay. Okay. Sick.
But his best friend is Jeffrey Wright's son, who is played by Jeffrey Wright's actual son.
Does he have a melodious voice?
Yeah. It's the Kurosawa remake, right?
Like, yeah, it's the Kurosawa remake. I don't mind the real sons, whatever. I mean, they're going to be in movies anyway. But so Denzel Washington's character has a 17-year-old son who's like into hip hop and plays basketball and like is always he's always doing TikToks and then being on the web and stuff. And in his room, it's never mentioned, but he has like a giant Kamala Harris poster.
Oh my like, God.
In the teenage boy's bedroom. And I was like, okay, I don't know, maybe would like, I don't know, Dr. Dre's 17-year-old son, would he have like a Kamala poster? Like, that's, I don't think so. I don't think so.
No, 0% chance. It is like, that is something that you have to be living in a very particular liberal Hollywood bubble to even get close to believing anyone would have that. Like,
You have to have done like a fundraiser for her yourself, which I'm sure that Spike Lee has done.
And to put it in a movie as like, you know, you're inventing someone, right? And so you've got this like, okay, this is the archetype of this generation of kid. This is a complete like anyone who's even a little bit not living in that bubble would be like, well, if I put the Kamala Harris poster, it's a completely different character. Like that is not, that is
a
striver, you know.
That's one of the girls from Booksmart.
Yes, exactly.
Ambitious, corporate, sort of tuned in.
Yes.
They're going to go work for a GMO or something like that.
Right. The archetype is, it doesn't work in what you were describing the kid is. So that is.
No, it definitely, wild. I've seen the movie and yes, you're correct. It does not work in that context.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, there's like three types of Spike Lee characters in this where it's like, you know, one guy likes bodegas, one guy hates the Celtics, and you know, there's a white guy who talks about Larry Bird.
How many of these movies you got to make? You know,
dude, it is. I thought like he has to be getting paid a nickel for every time he shows a Yankees logo or a Puerto Rican flag
or something, man. Yeah, I mean,
and like if you mentioned a fucking bodega in your like New York exploitation movie, like you have to go to prison.
Straight to jail. It just doesn't. I'm sorry.
You can love New York. I mean, it is a character flaw, but like whatever, you know, but love New York. That can make that part of your personality. But if like part of that involves, you know, waxing rhapsodic about chopped cheese, like maybe you could do it in a way that doesn't make you sound like a fucking AI.
Just do it in a new, bring something new to the table. It's like at some point you have to grow up. yeah. And you have to be like, damn, all the things that I loved when I was younger, I don't love anymore. You know, it's things change. You know, it's okay to talk about it. I don't know.
But
I,
they don't have bodegas anywhere else. There's literally nothing else like them.
Yeah, you can't go to stores. There's no store in Los Angeles. We don't have delis that sell you gum. We don't have that. Yeah, it is. It's all very annoying. I was thinking about like Spike Lee, you know, movies and stuff in kind of in relation to how there are like 6 Sharknado movies, and like it's crazy that there's that many Sharknado movies because it just means that, and it's like the same cast every time. So these guys.
How many are there? I
6.
There was like 3. I've never seen any. 6? Okay. I was thinking 2 in my head.
No, 6 Sharknado movies. And like, you know, since 2013, I mean, that's a crazy amount of Sharknado. And it just, I mean, even the first one is like,
how many are Ian Ziering in?
All of them. All really? Of them.
Wow. I'm, wow.
Yes.
I don't want to watch all 6 Sharknado movies, but I want someone to watch all 6 Sharknado movies and get back to us.
And then they would die like the guy on Kick. I'm sorry. but like to me, I was thinking, you know, it's like, you know, it's like they just keep making them. And I don't like know who the audience is, but it must be there's a separate economy out there. That is just.
Yeah. Like
you know,
there must be a lot of Mystery Science Theater podcasts
like there's so many podcasts and so many fans of bad things that they can make 6 Sharknado movies. Now obviously Spike Lee appeals to a bigger market than the Sharknados, but I don't really know too many big like yeah I don't know maybe if his name is on it, you know, he can make it and he makes money. It's just like yeah, but sometimes don't you want to like
I am a really big Spike Lee fan, it turns out.
Yeah, okay.
But I think there's a cutoff. I think there's a cutoff.
Yes.
I think I like 2 of his, I like Malcolm X, Black Klansman was like even though it was dumb, it was kind of fun. But like outside of that, I don't even know.
Inside Man was really good.
There's an amazing streak he has with Summer of Sam, He Got Game,
yes.
Bamboozled, and yes. 25th Hour. And
yeah,
then,
those are all good. Okay. Those are all good.
And like even Girl 6 before that's kind of interesting. And then She Hate Me actually has cool shit. But he kind of, he's lost it for a while now, I feel like.
He's so yeah. corny now. It's like
Black
crazy.
Klansman's like a Blue Lives Matter movie. I feel
it
like.
Is, yeah. But it's like, but it's like it had a minimum of like the normal Spike Lee shit where he feels like he's, like this movie was like 60% shout outs. Like it was.
I don't like the shout outs.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, okay, you like the Knicks. We get it. there's another scene like, okay, so the movie is called Highest to Lowest. This isn't a spoiler, even though it is the last scene. The movie ends with a character that we have not seen before this moment singing a song for Denzel Washington. She sings the entire song. This is like a three-minute long song. She sings the entire song. She has a beautiful voice, which is great. She gets to the end of the song and Denzel Washington was like, that's beautiful. What's it called? And she says, Highest to Lowest. And then the movie ends. And I have no idea how that relates to the rest of the movie, like in any way,
crazy.
Or why he shot it. And there's so many choices like that.
It's,
oh my God.
Yeah. Again, it's the Sharknado thing with me where I'm just like, some people are, you know, blessed to be able to just continue making movies. And
they go to an apartment and the apartment is apartment A24. I don't know if you can guess what production company made the movie, you know, I guess you got to give them a shout out for some reason.
Yeah. Let me guess the production company.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
The Kurosawa movie, there's like, it's famous for the apartment scene and for the scene where like everyone's like lying low on the ground and there are these, like the way they use blinds to like not be seen by the kidnappers. Is that like a whole scene in the movie too?
No. No, there's a whole scene that takes place during the Puerto Rican Day Parade where we get like an entire song of whatever like Puerto Rican orchestra that Spike Lee thinks is cool.
Not in the Kurosawa version.
Puerto Rican orchestra.
Well, the, you know, whatever the band of the type of music that's called that they play.
I don't think it's orchestra.
I think, well, hold on. It might be.
Warner Brothers.
What? Oh, the production company.
Worldwide Pants.
Yeah.
Worldwide Pants.
Yeah. Anyway, Jordan Peterson is allergic to mold. I don't know if you guys know this or not.
Cool. Who isn't? Aren't we all?
No, but it's more involved than just being allergic to mold. This is from his daughter last week. His daughter, who I believe was responsible for his all meat diet and like getting him committed to some sort of Serbian hospital while he tried to overcome his withdrawal from benzos. Hey guys, Jordan B. Peterson is taking some time off of everything. He was diagnosed with CIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, due to a genetic predisposition that causes the immune system to have an inability to identify and detoxify mold / bacteria in indoor air.
The body is a lot of shit. It's crazy what the body does. And
yeah, yeah. The independent headline was Jordan Peterson taking time off, quote, after being exposed to a particularly moldy environment. Over the last year, he's been feeling the impact of CIRS more and more. Recently, he was exposed to a particularly moldy environment while helping clean out my grandfather's house after he passed away, which severely flared symptoms.
I'm moldy.
This is Brendan was able to get I'm moldy said by
I asked him for a comment and that was his response.
Yeah, yeah. What was that?
We go to I'm moldy.
To be crystal clear, this isn't about akathisia or medication.
Oh, thank God.
He's not on any medication. It's an immune system dysfunction. CIRS is what has been behind his multiple health issues and random severe allergies and severe food sensitivities over the years. Mm. He's really been suffering from this badly since 2017. We just didn't know what it was called. Only eating meat to help keep the symptoms under control.
Yes,
but
I'm
it hasn't been enough recently.
Listen, this has nothing to do with me force feeding him 3.5 pounds of meat every day.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's different. This is a different thing. I could see how you would get it confused. But no, it's just because
I'm moldy.
He's moldy.
I like that one of his claims, isn't one of his claims to fame, like refusing to recognize his students' like pronouns and
yes.
shit in his classroom?
Yes.
I like that he doesn't recognize that, but his daughter says, the fact that doctors don't generally recognize that mold exposure in indoor air is causing chronic health issues is insane. The fact that this is the cause behind our food insensitivities and inability to tolerate anything other than meat for 8 years now. This is...
Is he really still doing the all-meat diet?
It's hard to tell because this is all from his daughter. Like, he might be just like chained to her radiator somewhere.
I don't believe. I mean, part of me thinks it's possible because he can't seem to get through an interview without crying.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Oh, she says that in this, by the way.
Oh, the mold made him cry?
The molds make him cry.
Hold on. It's in here. Oh, yes. CIRS is also the explanation behind recent canceled shows, canceled events, sporadic appearance of being run down, and general weepiness, in parentheses, caused by pain.
I'm moldy.
He keeps crying because of the mold, and we're feeding him meat, but it's not enough meat.
Yeah, it's not enough meat.
It's the last time I heard him even talking about the all meat diet, he was like sitting in some chair looking absolutely sickly, like yeah. like shan't survive the winter head ass, and going like, I'm on an all meat diet and I have no energy and I can't sleep at night and I feel terrible all the time. But my testosterone level is back at a normal, at the level of a 20-year-old.
That's so crazy.
Like, wow, sounds like it's really working out well for you, dude.
Sounds fun.
What does he have to say about that?
I mean, I don't know. You'd have to ask him. Jordan, what do you
I'm
say?
I'm moldy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, man. He's, You know what? I will like credit where credit is due, and I know that you guys are probably going to be like, really? But credit where credit is due. It is wild that he doesn't have any rape allegations.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he doesn't have the energy because of the CIRS.
That you know what? I actually believe that might be true. So in a way, it's like this all meat diet is really good if you're a potential rapist. Because I
tell people he's a Democrat.
Yeah, that's
kleptogamy. There we go. Yeah. I did it. Yeah, I remember that. Thanks, Gad.
Was that the cuttlefish thing?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, God, it's just so fucking tedious. I love the idea of like, well, hold on, let him cook. I want to hear about cuttlefish behavior because it's extremely relevant to me.
Yeah, love talking about a good cuttlefish. I'm like now just like
cuttlefish barely get laid because they're always snuggling.
Are you still eating your all beef diet?
Unfortunately, yes.
Years ago, doing an interview with what is this, GQ UK?
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
Really, just beef. Not can you have like ketchup on it?
Nothing. Right. Yes, I wouldn't. It isn't something I would lightly recommend. It's a little hard on your social life. It makes traveling quite difficult, and it's dull as hell. But.
But what's it? What has it done for you?
Well, I lost 50 pounds in 7 months.
Sorry, I love that. Okay, cool, man.
Sure.
He's got diarrhea all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You could still have nutrients and lose 50 pounds. Like, this is. Now I'm just like clicking on random things.
Plant-based diet is best. The health benefits of a pure and vegan diet are exceptionally serious.
Sounds like he said that. I think that was all real. What about this one?
He's moldy.
We have a farming minister who's telling us we should only eat, and this is not a joke, 10 grams meat per day, right? This is honestly what they are trying to tell us, 10 grams, right? Which is nothing.
Yeah, when the politicians start telling you what you can and can't eat, we've crossed a line. It's like, you don't get to tell me where I set my thermostat. You don't get to tell me what I can drive and when, and you certainly bloody well don't get to tell me what I can eat.
You definitely, what to drive and when is you kind of just threw in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can't tell me not to drive a plane.
Only my daughter and a team of Serbian homeopaths can tell me what to eat.
Like government diet guidelines, something that everyone has always followed and been scared to run afoul of.
Yeah,
like,
right, for fear of being put in a camp. I love it.
Like, fundamentally and seriously, to hell with you. And what it also indicates to me, and increasingly clearly, is that once you're waving the flag of planetary savior on the environmentalist front, once you've turned 100% to that kind of nature worship, there is absolutely no level of control whatsoever that you won't stoop to and justify by your moral pretension.
Oh, sorry.
They said maybe you should eat more vegetables, you fucking freak.
Well, sorry. He also, and to add, he said,
I'm moldy.
He's moldy.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
What's in the news?
I kind of forgot he existed, to be perfectly honest. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I did too. I was wondered if he was dead. Every once in a while, I get like a new dispatch about his health. His health problems from his daughter,
dude. And, oh my god!
It was like someone. It was like someone was like, you know what? We need a Lena Dunham for the right.
Yeah. Yeah, a level. I need someone to summarize Jordan Peterson for me
he's still good at writing.
He is fascinating in his own stupid way, but like, there's no way I'm going to watch all his videos of him doing whatever stupid bullshit.
There's
no fucking way.
But
but if I could get like a digest of like, here's all the entertaining things that Jordan Peterson did, like I could get that.
No, yes, I think what it is, and I'm just realizing this now, is I would watch a 24-hour kick stream of him.
His daughter force-feeding him
meat. Of whatever his day is. Like, I would tune in occasionally just to see what he's doing, and it's just like, meat again! you know, and just like eating it, and is, you know, he's hooked up to some sort of like cum extracting machine, I'm sure. You know, like, I just want to see what his day is.
Cum extracting machine.
You know what I mean? Hold on. Doesn't he seem like a guy who extracts?
You know why that's relevant, don't you, Matt? You know why that's relevant?
Why is that relevant?
Because somebody posted a video of a porn that was made in China, and it's like some weird fetish porn where a bunch of guys are hooked up to those like cow milking machines.
Yeah.
Their dicks are like hooked up to the cow milking machine, and someone posted it, and they're like, this is what the Chinese want from us. And then Jordan Peterson,
suck our dicks with robots.
Basically. Yeah. And then Jordan Peterson posted like, this is absurd. This is, where's it going to stop? The communists are out of control.
It's like the Matrix, and there's just an entire farm of humans, and we're all getting our cum extracted.
I mean, that's basically what it looked like. That's basically what it looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that, dude. Just imagine like a reverse thing of that, where it's like the Chinese are watching like a woman getting fucked by a Sibian on Howard Stern, and they're like, this is what America wants for us.
Yeah.
It's just, no, we're just trading weird porn, guys.
I wish Howard brought back the Sibian.
Yeah, bring it back. Put Kamala on it. I'm sorry.
Ellen has to sit on it while she gets interviewed.
Yeah. Yeah.
One last story, because I feel like it is relevant to Eddington, which I made us all watch for this week. Actually, I did. I think Brendan made us all watch it.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is a New York Times piece called "The Founders of This New Development Say You Must Be White to Live There."
Oh, yeah. I heard about this.
And it has a picture of course, like one of the fucking dorkiest humans that you've ever seen. In the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas, nearly an hour from the closest city, a small group of homesteaders is building an exclusive community from scratch. Applicants to the community are screened with an in-person interview, a criminal background check, a questionnaire about ancestral heritage, and sometimes even photographs of their relatives. Mm-hmm. Here's where it gets good. The community's two architects, a classically trained French horn player who has live streamed his own sex videos, and a former jazz pianist arrested but not charged for attempted murder in Ecuador, say they must personally confirm that applicants are white before they can be welcomed in. That sounds like the perfect libertarian pedigree. That's like you've gotten all flavors of libertarian.
Yeah, I'm a classically trained French horn player. But also, I've
also watched me fuck.
Yeah, but also I played the rusty trombone on Twitch stream. So I like so far both of the people you mentioned are like musicians too.
Yeah, weird, right?
So they like got caught part of a band going.
Yeah, they got a jam, right?
Yeah,
they got a jazz duo, just a French horn and a piano.
You'd figure jazz would also be banned. You know, they'd be like, culturally, it's a little bit dark continent.
I think it's grandfathered in because then they can do like smooth jazz.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We invented smooth jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Black people invented jazz, but we smoothed it out.
Yeah, we made it nice and smooth. We took out all the rough edges, polished it, shined it up. Made it
less rambunctious.
Yeah, something.
Who's like the most iconic white jazz person? Is it like Kenny G or something like that?
Gotta be Kenny G, right?
Gotta be Kenny G.
Al Jolson. He's the jazz singer.
Yeah.
They didn't say one of the jazz singers. They said the jazz singer.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was taking issue with you calling Al Jolson white.
Mm.
That's right.
As we all know, secret blood that runs through, well, let's just say 2 out of the 4 of these podcasters
is
currently under debate.
Well, I certainly think you could say in 1927, no one thought a Jew was white. But
yeah,
I don't know if we should really
absolutely not.
I don't think they would be allowed into this community, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Al Jolson, can Al Jolson come? What if he wears blackface and sings, sings Swanee?
We didn't want to let him in, but we needed a singer.
Yeah.
Seeing someone who doesn't present as white might lead us to, among other things, not admit that person, said one founder, Eric Orwall, who moonlights as a Platonic scholar on YouTube, but is now focused on developing 160 acres in Ravenden, Arkansas. The community's other founder, Peter Siri, was arrested in Ecuador for stabbing a minor and is accused of stealing tens of thousands of dollars from a vegan community there.
Oh, it's a good thing. I mean, they're like looking into his background. It's like, well, I see that you've stolen from another community, but you are white. And the white thing leads me to trust you a little more. I love it.
Return to the Land is the name of both the 160-acre compound, which has about 40 residents, and a private association that Mr. Orwell said hundreds have joined.
How do they spell return? Is it with a V instead of a U?
No. But
lame.
Who knows? It could be just the New York Times style guide dumbing it down for us.
Yeah, that's true.
Mr. Orwell said hundreds have joined, paying a one-time $25 membership fee and earning acceptance after sharing information online about their ethnic background.
Oh my God.
For just $25, you can let these guys prove that you're actually white and give you like a little plaque.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even if you don't get in, you still get the plaque. You can put it in your house. I'm white. Look, I got it certified from this group of YouTubers.
This guy who killed an Ecuadorian miner.
Yeah, a guy who murdered someone, and then also a French horn player who fucks.
Mr. Orwell and Mr. Cesare initially welcomed media attention into their compound, eager to draw in new recruits and also traffic to the donation pages for both cryptocurrency and precious metals on their website. okay. Now they are more wary. Mr. Orwell recently gave the New York Times a limited tour, allowing entry to the property through a gate that had a lock. He sat on a folding chair in his office, housed in an insulated shed with air conditioning and fiber internet, two pianos, and shelves full of philosophy texts. Before a photographer could snap pictures, he pulled a copy of Mein Kampf from a bookshelf and turned it around to hide its spine.
He turns it around, and on the page edges is just a bunch of swastikas. He's like, ah, damn it.
Forgot I was doodling. You want to guess where Orwell's from?
Orange County.
Mr. Orwell grew up in La Mirada, California, outside Los Angeles, and in high school, he considered himself a libertarian. He studied the French horn at the prestigious Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, before moving to Milwaukee to join the orchestra with Shen Yun, the classical Chinese dance and music production.
He was in Shen Yun?
Yeah, he was their French hornist.
What the fuck?
I love it.
While Mr. Orwell considers the group a cult, he said, I liked a lot of how they did things, though. They're very efficient. I thought it was interesting having a compound like they have.
Yeah, it's always nice to have a compound. Nothing bad has ever come out of a compound.
No, you never hear that like in bad news stories.
No, yeah. Compound's always good.
Despite never studying it, oops, I lost my place.
Idiot. Fool.
He'd always been drawn to Greek philosophy, and he eventually started uploading homemade videos about Plato and collective consciousness on his YouTube channel.
Despite never studying it, he always just thought it was rad. Like, what was it? Greek philosophy?
Yeah, Plato.
I never studied it, but I always kind of thought it'd be sick if I ever could.
I consider myself an amateur Platologist.
Yeah, that's great.
Between his recorded musings on Plato, he began weaving in videos about elites in the United States and theories on how the genetics for blonde hair and blue eyes spread across the globe through history. The videos caught the eye of Mr. Cesare at 36, a Connecticut-raised jazz pianist. The two men struck up a friendship online. Eventually, I realized there is a genetic component to IQ, and it's one of those things that people like to pretend doesn't exist because it's politically inconvenient, Mr. Cesari said.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. He was interested in apartheid, unfulfilled by a life as a musician. Mr. Cesari said he began searching for something with more meaning. He first embraced veganism and, quote, a need to become a hippie, and formed an eco-village in Ecuador. The village, Fruit Haven,
okay,
publicly accused Mr. Cesari of fraud and theft on its website. In a statement, it accused him of absconding in July 2023 with thousands of misappropriated dollars, and also said that he once stabbed an Ecuadorian miner, causing him a collapsed lung, and was arrested on a potential charge of attempted murder in Ecuador. Mm. He has not been formally charged.
Man. And so is he one of the founders of this new group?
Yes, him and the French horn guy.
Crazy, man. What a life.
Mr. Orwell and his ex-wife, Caitlin Smith, have four children between the ages of 2 and 8. Living in the community, Ms. Smith said, has been great for her children because it has given them people to play with that we could trust. The pair met at music school. Like Mr. Orwell, Ms. Smith, 31, who originally is from upstate New York, plays the French horn. Before they had four children, the pair made live sex videos for money on the porn site Chatterbait.
Okay, can I just real quick?
Mm-hmm.
They keep bringing up this sex work thing, and I want to say sex work is work,
and
I don't think that it's bad that they were doing, you know, French horn fucking or whatever, and I feel like they're trying to shame them, and you know what? I think it's because they're white.
Yeah, I actually tuned out of the whole story until you said Chatterbait, and now I'm like,
yeah, Chatterbait. Curious. Excuse me.
What?
Ms. Smith declined to comment on the videos. According to her profile page, which is still visible, along with the videos, she listed a preference for men, women, trans people, and couples. At Return to the Land, gay people of any race are barred.
Well, you know, everyone's got room for growth.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, I hope they make it. I hope they don't.
No, that seems like a community that's destined for success. What's the fun thing about that community is it presupposes that you can't yourself find a community of all white people in America.
Yeah, in Arkansas?
In Arkansas. Just the whole thing. It's like, you know it's a scam, right? Like, anyone who's, like, joining it, it's like, because it's playing on that thing in your brain that says, oh no, I can't just move to some other white neighborhood. None of those exist anymore. And it's like, they do. They absolutely do. And also,
well, this one only costs $25 for a certificate.
I mean,
well, I'm sure it won't be completely undone by infighting and petty arguments
and infidelity
and larceny and just all sorts of graft. It'll all go great. It's always fun to make a community that starts out defensive. That's how you get Israel. All right, I've said my Israel thing for the pod. Now it is time to talk about the movie that we all saw. And it's called Eddington.
Edgington.
Edgington. It's called Eddington. It is an Ari Aster movie. You know him, the great filmmaker who made Hereditary and Midsommar, Bo is Afraid, and now his newest offering, another Joaquin Phoenix movie. We all saw it. What did we think?
I loved it.
Huh.
I don't know if we're starting with me. Big fan. I feel like no one's better at doing like alienation and paranoia and people going slowly insane than Ari Aster. And I feel like he combined like the way people go insane when they don't have a vocabulary for like criticizing capitalism and they have to find like other things, you know, whether it's, you know, the mom getting into, you know, whether they think it's like spores in the air and people not letting you eat an all meat diet or something else. And then he sort of combined that with just like trolling. Like, I think parts of it are just straight up.
It's a troll.
Trolling. And yeah, I very much appreciated that. I also, like, I loved all of his movies. I really enjoyed Bo is Afraid, like all the apartments.
I still haven't seen that. And that I was drawn to it because people were like booing or walking out. It was like,
well, the last
divisive
30 or 40 minutes are kind of a boring slog. They're very like introspective and metaphysical and sort of dull for me as a person who always gets bored with dream sequences and things like that.
Right.
And this has like some of the same qualities where it sort of, it descends into, depicting an unreliable narrator, but in this one, like, they do it with like a gunfight, and so it's kind of exciting when it does that.
Sure.
I could appreciate it more. I wasn't bored in this one.
Yeah,
even though I think they're both brilliant in their own ways.
The thing that really struck me was, like, as I was like kind of trying to digest it and like everything that was going on, the thing when it finally clicked for me is like, oh wait, this is just an incredibly literal movie.
Right.
Mm.
Which is like not what you expect out of Ari Aster.
I mean, except for the you know, the group of like potentially internationalist Antifa.
Antifa gang. Super soldiers.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. I guess
you could also read them as Russians. Sorry, go ahead.
To me, that's kind of the point, right? To me, the whole point is, everyone just completely losing their minds with COVID and, you know, manifesting essentially like all these insane things by the mere fixation on all these ways of mediating reality that people turn to during the pandemic, rather than just, you know, connecting with other people and having a shared sense of, relatively speaking, objective reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Brian, what'd you think?
My initial take was closer to yours about it being a troll. Like, I felt the first 45 minutes that like it's a sick joke on us that we have to like relive this shit, you know? and then it did start turning into more of Beau's Afraid, and like it doesn't work for me personally. I know I hate it when people say shit like that, but it's just kind of true. But I guess I was watching it like just enjoying that, like, Ari Aster has like broken out of horror, as much as I love horror. Mm-hmm. And like, he's just kind of, he's expanding himself as an artist or whatever, and he's doing what he wants. And then I just started thinking about how someone like, I wish Ty West would get off his ass, and like, not get off his ass, but he's just like a little stuck in his genre or whatever.
Right.
I wish I would have paid closer attention. I watched it at like 5 o'clock in the morning yesterday, and I guess I'm still digesting too.
I feel like the part that is, the part that's like sort of hardest for me to theorize about, which I think is maybe because it is just a troll, is like you get all these different flavors and gradations of like right wing psychosis when you between Joaquin Phoenix, who's sort of like sort of well meaning, but he is kind of, he's dopey and he is, vulnerable to the sort of more like racist and more bellicose, like right wing type shit. And then you got like the deputy who's the crypto guy and Joaquin Phoenix's mother-in-law, who's just like, always sending articles about like the globalist cabals and shit like that. And then, but meanwhile, when you get like to the left people, it's like they sort of conflate them all as, like high school kids that are protesting George Floyd for clout with each other,
right?
In a way, and part of me thinks that is like a deliberate troll, because I feel like he knows that it is sort of thumbing his target audience in the eye a little bit,
right?
It's more interesting though that way, right? Like I felt that way too. I think like Joaquin is definitely like the Michael Stuhlbarg, a serious man in this that we are supposed to connect with in spite of his, racisms or ignorance or whatever. It's just more interesting that way. And
yeah.
He's
clearly broken and has like a sad life and like wants to connect with people, but can't.
Who among us?
Yeah. We're all there. Yeah. I'm offering people $20,000. Fuck my ass. Clearly, I want
you
connection.
You could have been a character.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I watching the first, I don't know, hour of this movie, in which it is literally just a sort of a relitigation of only the worst cultural stereotypes or stereotypes of the culture war moment of 2020. Like, watching that and reliving that was like harder than when Toni Collette sawed her head off in Hereditary.
It stressed me out. Yeah,
I think I would watch 1,000 Toni Collettes sawing her head off before reliving 2020, especially in a way that I thought was like almost deliberate, in which it offered nothing new to it. And so, I'm willing to grant, I think it's like a lot of this depends on how much credit you want to give Ari Aster as a filmmaker. And as you know, because he does seem, I think he does seem like a cut above when it comes to, I don't know, kind of.
He made all that shit funny, in my opinion. I mean, mm-hmm. I laughed a lot. Like, I found even the stuff that was on the nose pandemic stuff, I felt like the jokes mostly landed.
I laughed sometimes, but then, you know, at other times I was just kind of, I don't know, it was like reliving something that I thought was like doing it for laughs I felt like he didn't really find what was funny about the moment. There are certain things that were like genuinely like funny, but in general I was just like hoping, I like sat there hoping it was going to say something new, and it did surprise me pleasantly with the sort of pivot it made halfway through, where it was like, okay, now he's gonna just like shoot people with sniper rifle, and then you see like fucking Antifa super soldiers in a fucking like George Soros Learjet. There's a symbol of like a hand holding a globe, and I was like, okay, so we're doing a little, it felt a little bit like what's the Boots Riley movie,
I Think You Should Come, or whatever.
Sorry to bother you. I think You Should Come.
There Will Be Come.
There Will Be Come. I Think You Should Come. You know, sort of the twist there was fun, but then I did catch myself at one point watching it and kind of wishing I was getting something else. Like, to me, I you know, I'm okay with like this sort of like, I don't know, surrealist thing, but there was part of me that was going like, is this a fever dream because he's dying of COVID? Are we gonna see him, you know, being intubated? Like, what what's happening? And they don't really give you that. There's one moment where it almost feels like they did, I can't be certain if that was what they were trying to do. So like, you know, there's, I don't know, I it didn't work for me either, Brian, and I just kind of ended up.
See, but I feel like I like that they didn't, that he never tried to offer like a grand theory, unified theory.
It's a little bit of an LOL, nothing matters.
That's totally the point. Yeah, that's kind of the point, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, and I get that. I was watching it. I was going, oh, okay, we're doing the you know, the sort of the nihilistic LOL, nothing matters thing, and like there's something about that sort of like black pilling that I was just like, okay, all right, fine, you know, yeah.
I get it.
Nothing matters.
I enjoyed like the provocation of it. Like, yes, you know, it's definitely like there's a middle finger element there that I appreciated.
Yeah,
I also appreciate but that also after 25 like... years or 30 years in Hollywood, your first dick scene is you being dragged to the toilet to take a dump.
Yeah, that was great.
Is that Joaquin Phoenix's first dick scene? He's had another.
We can Google, I suppose.
Oh, I'm gonna Google it then.
Didn't he show his dick when he shat on that guy in?
I'm still here.
Oh,
I didn't see that.
I never saw that one. Joaquin.
I don't think you see his dick, but I don't remember.
Yeah, probably not.
frontal.
But he seems like a guy who would have been naked at some other point.
Mr. I guess I don't know. My rebuttal to what you said, Matt, is like I think it's hard to not feel blackpilled when you kind of look at
totally
everything.
Yeah, of course.
So I get that. I think to me the most important thing is like everyone kind of manifests what they're scared of and what they're scared of is based on what information they're choosing to let through their filter.
Yes.
So to me, I think that's like the really important part and sort of like, okay, well then what happens if you take that to like an extreme end?
Right.
I also like that. It felt like it was, it was depicting like all these people who have personal reasons for disliking, envying, and being jealous of each other, and then they all figure out ways to couch it in politics, which I feel like is a very
very
American thing to do, and that was a good comment on that.
I agree with you, but because it was so on the nose with it, like because the way in which they did it wasn't like a metaphor. It was like, no, they're literally doing, and not only that, but the politics that they're doing are just the boilerplate divisive culture war politics of that era, which is like,
yeah, you could argue that their politics like individually were maybe more coherent than they would be like out in the wild, even as people were going insane. Like their politics were sort of internally consistent in a way that like people's often aren't.
Sure, but I mean the only reason you can tell when someone's aren't consistent is because they're giving their opinion on everything and then you see the inconsistencies. Yeah. In this, they're like living in this story and the narrative, and so it's like you only see them reacting to the whatever, you know, their fears are or whatnot. So like I don't know, it's like it did, I got the point, and I got the like, oh yeah, he's, you know, they're all couching their own personal, you know, whatevers, and like he's mad about the fact that the current mayor, played by Pedro Pascal,
perfect like Gavin Newsom, small town, yeah. Gavin, yeah. Newsom character,
yeah. Total shit lib.
Yes,
I mean the part like when it cut to his campaign ad, which was about how his wife left him and that made him like you know
stronger.
Find community.
Yeah, right.
Like, that
yeah.
was a huge like laugh out loud. That was almost like Tim and Eric level.
Yeah, and like and how much you know he.
What
like,
is this? The Jeffersons.
Like and how much he enjoyed like his the power that he had to tell the sheriff to put his mask on and stuff, and like kind of like he enjoyed wielding power, and he was a shit lib. I thought that was like really good.
A shit lib who's very into like AI and wanting to build a data center.
Right. At the end of, and the stuff with the data center too was like there was more of it where I was just like it was just so many things where it's like, okay, well, what is the deal with the data center? Does this play in any way other than the fact that everyone just wants a data center? Like,
the data center is his, that's his like organizing principle, is that he's like the, you know, that's the thing that's going to save him.
That's the thing he's going to slap his name on and say, I did this. And like, part of me expected, I guess they kind of did the thing where, you know, at the end, it's like, okay, we're going to do
a MacGuffin.
We're going to do a data center, but it's going to be anti-woke or whatever. You know, either way, they both get a data center. I thought that was like funny, but I also, I think I was expecting, I don't know. I was just expecting a little bit.
My interpretation of that was just that, you know, like Vince said, that's going to be the mayor's like signature move is like getting the data center put there, and then at the end we see
that's gonna fix everything.
Yeah, at the end we see that like nothing's fixed. You know, what's his name, Joe is just kind of an avatar for this whole thing. The mayor's right hand man has switched sides. Like he doesn't give a fuck, he's just totally cynical. And then obviously the mother-in-law was incredibly cynical, so it's just kind of like maybe that's black-pilled, but how can you look around right now and not say like, oh yeah, oh, like I don't think the most cynical people won.
No,
like, I just don't.
Yeah, no, no. I mean, I guess it's like, I don't think it's black-pilled. I thought that was a great, you know, moment when you realize they get the data center and it's, but it's like one way or another, they're both getting the data center. And I get that this is like, I get what it was doing. However, it, none of it made me feel good. And
I guess like the casting and the performances sort of put it over the top in that way.
Sure.
Just because I feel like the, I mean, like
much respect to Deirdre O'Connell. And for that matter to, what's your face? Patty LuPone. Bo is Afraid or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I love Pedro Pascal. I think that's the ideal Pedro Pascal role as like the sort of shitty Gavin Newsom type. And then like
smug
Clifton
the shill
Collins
for big tech.
Clifton Collins Jr. is always like the minor character played for laughs. And I feel like they sort of cast him as type, but also against type in that like he's this raving homeless man. And they, like, you expect that character to like become something else, but they sort of just play him tragic and never explain him. And he's sort of just like the tragic figure. And I thought that was like weirdly affecting in a way that I didn't expect.
It's funny for you to even get to a point where you have any kind of emotional reaction to that character. Because to me, I was like, this character I was just waiting for what this character was for and what it was about and what it represented, and like kind of like trying to, I don't know, turn it to it, like it wasn't a human to me. It was just like,
but I feel like that is sort of
was like crazy. Thought, and yeah,
sure, but I feel like that's sort of metaphorical for the way that we all look at the homeless problem, where it's just like it's this thing that we all, you know, agree is bad, and like the argument is over whether you should ignore them or whether you should like actively like move them
or
somewhere
kill
else.
Them.
Yeah, and no one's really like, no one's actually like, you know, evincing any compassion for them or treating them as people,
right,
in any way. And it's like it's a thing that we push away psychologically, because we have to, you know, we have to deny any connection to,
right,
them, because, you know,
like
the
movie,
we don't have to think about ourselves being in that position,
right? But mm-hmm. I guess the movie did that too in a way where, and I'm not like criticizing, like, oh, it was anti-homeless, like I don't give a shit about it. I don't think it was doing that. I just think it was like, so I didn't have an emotional react. It was just like, it was a punchline. It was a funny joke when he's like, all right, I just got to kill this guy.
Well, he's got like, I mean, yeah, but he's never anything but a nuisance to the other characters.
Well, yeah.
Like they never take the time, you know, no one ever takes the time. Because I feel like the tropey thing to do would be to like reveal his backstory, how he got that
no,
way.
No, like, I did not say I want any of that. I guess I'm just like surprised that you're like, oh, and then he has this tragic story. It's like, it didn't even feel tragic. It just felt like a setup. Like this is going to be the guy that everyone gets COVID from. Like the point of that character seems to be,
did they actually get COVID from him, or were they just afraid that they got COVID for him because he was like,
well,
using that
Joaquin's
against
them. Joaquin Phoenix's character gets COVID. I mean, he
does.
We don't find out for sure, but yeah, like the point of that character to me, which I thought was really funny, was that like, well, everyone's got these rules that they live by, and things that they respect, all based on like cultural lines, like culture war lines. Mm-hmm. Like homeless crazy guy respects no boundaries, no rules.
Right.
He's going to break into your bar.
He wants to wheeze the juice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And he's going to break into your bar, drink all your booze, or he's going to like fuck up your moment of silence for George Floyd. Like, no matter what, he is a thorn in everyone's side because he represents, like, you know, the fucking, you know,
the intractable problem that no one, no one has like developed a vocabulary to deal with, or like any sort of method of dealing with it other than like, make this person leave, or how can I insulate myself from this person's problem?
Yeah. I guess like I think I have a very particular thing when it comes to anything that's going to be about COVID where I
mean, I was like, I was as reticent to see anything about 2020 as anyone else, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think just very specifically about COVID because of, like, beyond the culture war stuff, it just, like, I just have a thing where I'm like,
did you like Kimmy?
Oh, what's Kimmy?
Wasn't that Soderbergh?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
I haven't seen it. Has there been other things about COVID? Because it's like, I don't know.
There was Locked In with Chiwetel Ejiofor and Anne Hathaway, which was like one of the most excruciating movies I've ever sat through.
I don't know. I'm interested at some point to see something about it in some way, but just being back there, I was just like, this is...
We don't want to be back there.
Yeah,
that's what I think it's... But I mean, I feel like, you know, he's doing an art... In being an artist, like, that is kind of the moment when so many people's brains broke and so many, like, fractures in political coalitions developed in a way that we still haven't reconciled. And, you know, on one hand, it's understandable not to deal with that as a narrative because... like, we don't want to actually, it sucks. It sucks to go back there. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, it is bold to attempt to at least like examine that. And
I guess so.
Matt prefers Holocaust films.
Yeah. I prefer that more people die. No, but it's like, I don't know. It was just like,
Mein Kampf.
I just wanted
the October 7th movie or something.
Oh yeah. October 8th. I know. I think I wanted more from it, and
by the way, if there's not a movie called October 8th in development,
it's a documentary called October 8th.
Okay, of course.
It was made by Israeli propagandists. I think it has Sheryl Sandberg in it crying about "Would you hide me?" Straight up, it is so funny.
Would you hide me? I'd hide me.
I'd hide me
so hard.
I'd hide me so hard.
I'd hide me in my own ass.
Give me back my fucking soldier. You don't know what pain is.
Anyways, I don't know. I thought it was like entertaining enough. I hate that time period. I hate everything it talked about. And I thought that the movie did a black pill cop out a little bit, and so I didn't love it. I'm sorry, guys.
I can see that. I agree with that to some extent, but I also feel like the cop out was entertaining in its own way.
It was entertaining,
and I thought somewhat justified by the material and by the way he handled it.
Yeah, it's good. It was good enough. The acting was great, and I was entertained enough. That's fine.
Genuine, I mean, genuine laugh out loud moment was when Joaquin grabs the phone from the protester and talks into it.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch. I would always watch Joaquin Phoenix paint a house. Like he is.
When he gets weird, he's my favorite. I just love watching him be weird.
Like that's why I love The Master so much, where it's, you know, 90% him just like walking around being a weirdo. And I'm like, yeah, I could watch 3 more hours of this.
It's the best. Oh, man. I'm going to rewatch The Master. I maybe I'll see Bo is Afraid. Maybe I'll like Eddington a little bit more when I see Bo is Afraid.
I mean, Bo is Afraid gets very tedious at the end, but like the part where everyone's just like fucking up Joaquin Phoenix's apartment is
incredible. Incredible.
Yeah,
it's
no spoilers.
No spoilers. I don't think it's spoilable. I don't think most good movies are spoilable.
Yeah, there's you just gotta see it.
Sixth Sense, The Village.
Lady in the Water.
Crying Game.
Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Empire Strike Back.
What do you spoil about that?
The Empire Striking Back.
The Empire Striking Back. I didn't expect that. What the
hell?
I never saw
that coming.
Citizen
Credulous
Kane.
Moviegoer. That's a good new bit.
Yeah. What the hell?
Matt, what was...
What was the last Star Wars happening?
What was the last movie you saw before Edgington?
Superman.
He walks out of Alive. I can't believe they all lived.
They're alive still.
They ate each other?
They ate each other's butts. I saw.
I always think it's funny in those movies when people are like scared to eat each other. Like, if I'm in a starving situation, I'm absolutely going to eat a person. Like, it would not even cross my mind not to eat a person.
I would always eat a person.
Yeah, I mean, it was weird Catholic hang-up shit.
Yeah.
Was why some of the people didn't
do it. Isn't that their whole thing? They eat Jesus every fucking Sunday.
Yeah, but it hasn't transubstantiated yet. It just died in a plane crash.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to wait a little bit till the meat is godly. I saw Superman in theaters. That's the last movie I saw in theaters. I saw The Gray, which is...
I still haven't seen that.
It's like Alive, but where there's wolves.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson's.
It was a good pitch. Liam Neeson fights some wolves. I was like, all right. Guys, but then for some reason I never saw it.
It's not about that. That's
no?
It's a giant rug pull.
Oh.
It's like this movie. You think it's going to be, you know, about what it says it's about, but it's actually about God and fighting off loneliness and death.
Mm. Is it Irish? Is it all Irish?
Very Irish.
Has to fight his da and his da to fight is his, God.
Yeah. The ultimate da.
You have to go to heaven and fight your da. He's all of our da.
I always knew I'd have to fight me da. I didn't know I would have to fight the ultimate da. Liam Neeson versus
the final
God.
Boss of da.
Yes, Mecca-da. That is true, though. The Irish are like, finally, I fight me real da. Oh, man. Anyways, yeah, that's, you know, I saw that.
I still haven't heard how they got Emma Stone's eyelashes ginger like that. That was impressive. I don't know what they did. It seems like it would be hard. Or maybe they did it digitally. I don't know.
Who knows, man? I didn't even think about it. She.
Lesson of the movie is that you can believe whatever you want, and then that's your truth.
That's true. Everyone's truth is the same truth.
And that the homeless person would probably take it up the ass for a Happy Meal.
100%. 100%. And you know what? You wouldn't be wrong to. So if you want to fuck me in the ass for $20,000, go to broadcast@gmail.com. So solid B pluses all around, I believe. And I think that's been a podcast.
Oh, all right.
Don't
trying to get rid of me.
Whenever I say a very good segue, I would say. You always all like I'm spoiling the party. I'm not spoiling the party. I'm trying to eat a hot sandwich that I have.
Okay. Can I tell you about one last thing before we go?
I hate you, bitch. Go ahead.
Can I tell you about Kevin Spacey's movie that he has coming out?
Yes, you can.
Please.
We need to, you know, he was the president of space before he was impeached rudely.
Famously.
Famously
and we've
impeached.
Been without a president of space ever since.
No, it's funny. Go ahead.
Kevin Spacey's European festival tour is moving to Venice. The actor, who made a surprise appearance in Cannes to promote British indie film The Awakening, is now heading to the Venice Film Festival to present the trailer for a new sci-fi movie he directed.
Cool.
Any guesses on Kevin Spacey's sci-fi movie?
Is it a franchise that already exists?
No, okay. But it sounds like it's one that could exist.
Okay, it's
not to give you too many hints.
It's a race of woke aliens trying to get him canceled for being gay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's Me Too-y of some. It's gotta be, but it's not women because he's gay, right? So it has to be.
Yeah. Me three.
Yeah.
three
it's called. It's called Holy Guard Saga: The Portal of Force.
Jesus, okay.
A supernatural action thriller in which Spacey stars alongside Dolph Lundgren, Tyrese Gibson, Disha Patani, and Eric Roberts.
You should have given me a second to ask about cast. I would have said Eric Roberts.
Yeah, or Tyrese Gibson would have been in there too.
Yeah, I guess so, but like definitely Eric Roberts. He seems to... Like, that's his thing, is like...
I think he has, like, 400-some IMDb credits at this point. Like, it's insane.
It's like more than
he's probably been at least three of the Sharknados.
I mean, probably.
Like, as different characters.
Yeah. Deepest respect to Eric, but I'm going to pass on this particular movie.
Yeah. No, nothing but respect to Eric, but...
Per the description, Holy Guard Saga, The Portal of Force... is set against the backdrop of a near-future world fractured by hidden supernatural forces, where two ancient warrior factions, the Holy Guards and the Static Guards, wage a secret war for control of humanity's fate. Amid this conflict, a young woman discovers that she's the daughter of two rival leaders and could end the conflict. Meanwhile, a Stadigard strategist prepares a catastrophic attack in Paris using a nuclear device and an army of mind-controlled civilians, channeling energy from a cosmic portal to awaken an ancient force known as the Prime.
All right, so it's about TikTok kids canceling you?
Sure.
That's what it sounds like. Doesn't it?
Is he not allowed to move to Israel? Why has he not moved to Israel yet?
It's a great question. I doubt he's not allowed. I've never seen that except for in Godfather 2.
Like, yeah,
Spacey's Jewish.
No, I don't think so.
I think in,
I feel
in
like,
spirit.
But neither is.
Why would they let in a lesser type of human?
That's true.
A good point. Why would they let in some sort of some sort of goy who's
Untergoy?
Yeah. No, but I think in spirit he's Israeli.
I was going to bring up Brett Ratner, but I guess Brett Ratner is Jewish, so that doesn't count. But I feel like not enough people talk about Brett Ratner getting run out of Hollywood for being a sex pest. And then
I thought you were going
like, to
be like, I think not a lot of enough people talk about Brett Ratner being Jewish. I don't know, man. Why?
That's the first way I categorize him. Sex pest is like third on the list.
First, you should start checking out the rest of Hollywood, too.
Yeah. Someone should see. I made this chart. It's got faces and Stars of David on it, also with logos.
Yeah, the more Jewish, the more Stars of David.
Yeah, this guy's got 5 Stars of David.
Alan Dershowitz, 6 Stars of David.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but
Jelp,
like, he got ran out.
Jelp.com. Just give stars.
He got run out of Hollywood for being a sex pest. And then Donald Trump got elected, and he immediately came right back and got $40 million for directing a Melania Trump documentary.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
Pretty great.
Great gig.
Great gig.
Talk about a redemption arc for that guy.
Yeah.
But on Yelp, the Richard Kind page, like the stars are running off the fucking laptop.
Yeah. But that's because he's good, though. Richard Kind doesn't have anything wrong with him, right?
I hope not.
No.
Okay, good.
He's the best.
I would back him if he did, probably.
I know. I like, he's the like one of the rare celebrities where I would be like, I'm going to need to hear the context.
Yeah. You're doing the Chappelle show, R. Kelly thing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to need to read more. Yeah, he's my fucking R. Kelly.
Yeah.
just like, I'm going to need to read.
He would need to be showing 2 forms of ID.
Yeah.
He was in the crawl space for how many minutes? Because it doesn't quite line up with what you're saying.
Yeah. I love Richard Kind. Well, it sounds like a good movie, man.
Yeah, yeah. All the best. Hope we get a new president of space soon. If not Kevin Spacey, I don't know. I don't know who the next candidate would be. It's hard to fill those shoes.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Who else has space in their name?
When was he president of space?
Since this bit started.
We declared him president in space in one of our early episodes. So, I don't know, 2008?
Is that K-Pax? Is that why?
it's a very dumb joke.
Space.
Spacey. He's Kevin Spacey, the president
of
space.
Oh, that's his name. Fuck. Yeah. Okay, I'm leaving. Sorry.
It's a great bit.
It's a good bit.
In a pre-Matt Lieb fraught world.
I really thought there was like another TV show where he's like wearing a stupid, space suit and he's like the president.
Doesn't happen.
It's kind of the point of the joke.
It's like when people ask me why, like Ryan Gosling, why I started calling him Baby Goose. And I'm like, because his name's Gosling, it's Baby Goose.
It's not your best, but it's sure you're working with new writers, so it's fine.
I'm proud of it. I don't care. I'll put my name on that one.
Well, I think we've covered all the news of the day, so
not all the bits have to be good.
None of them do.
That's the thing that I'll hang my hat on.
That's right. And we want to thank you all out there. Brian, thank you for coming back on the Fraudcast. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Letterboxd. Do people that listen to this podcast actually fuck with Letterboxd? I can't tell.
I mean, probably, but we discourage it.
Yeah, well, whatever. Then I'm on the 2 most annoying fucking social sites. I'm on Letterboxd at Brian Abrams. And I'm on TikTok at Movie Quote Society. I fuck around there, too.
Hell yeah.
Just don't befriend any Shyamalan fans on Letterboxd.
Dude, you gotta watch out. They'll yell at you.
Yeah.
Letterboxd, Shyamalan.
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart.
They're in a
whole I'm just friends
world.
With, like, nunsploitation people.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Normal.
Right. Well, check out Brian on both TikTok and Letterboxd. Links will be in the show description. Patreon.com/Rockcast. Rockcast@gmail.com for all your questions, comments, and concerns. Vince, what is a Google Voice number?
415-275-0030. We need a lot of voicemails this next week to listen to. So
yeah,
put those in. Ask us questions.
We need
talk your shit.
Yeah, talk your shit. Brendan, you want to take us on out of here?
Yes, I do. All right. Thanks for listening this week. We love you, especially if you pay us money. yeah. You can email me directly. Frogcastbrendan@gmail.com, and we will see you next week. Till then,
you can make your bid if you can pay more than $20,000 to fuck Matt in the ass.
Yeah, that's right. Let's get a bidding lines, war started for that hole. Yeah,
lines are open.
Bid on that hole. All right. Until next week. Good night and good chins.